So at this point, DEI must be the new N word, because what? Why do I get all these weirdos in my DM?
The guy was basically saying, "How you doing it? And I can't do it because I feel like I'm better than you."
Because they conflate DEI with affirmative action.
This video is being brought to you by Level Up in Tech. It's Q3 in 2024, but you still have time to get into the cloud. With the quick search for cloud in Indeed, you can see over 44,000 jobs are listed that is related or pertaining to the cloud. Now, that is a lot, but if you're watching this right now, you might be thinking, well, how do I learn the skills to get into the cloud? Well, we got you covered. Level Up in Tech is one of the best, if not the best, program related to getting people into the cloud. At Level Up in Tech, you can learn about server config and troubleshooting, the AWS cloud, infrastructure as code, CI/CD, scripting, containerization, and more. And also, they now also have a new multi-cloud AI engineering program that is dedicated to help you have the latest and greatest skills to help you be marketable in this tech market. They post more testimonials than almost any program that I could think of. Check them out. Now, if you're ready to start your cloud career today, then use the link in my description to go to levelupintech.com/tech so you can start your career. And plus, they'll know that I sent you. But on to the video.
The Super Bowl.
I think it's the what? Remember the Kendrick? No.
Were they picking for the Super Bowl?
Super Bowl, but not only that, Kendrick dropped that song. I didn't destroy the party.
I haven't listened.
I haven't got a chance to listen to it.
It wasn't worth listening to.
It wasn't hidden? He finally done fell off because he
ain't fall off. He
ain't got nothing to fuel him like Drake was.
It's just like the 16 in L.A. thing that I never listened to again. Like, this is somebody like the Al Green or something. But it wasn't really a Drake diss per se. It was more so about the industry. But I'm just like, you kind of been used as the puppet in this whole thing, sir. So, it really don't matter. But, I mean, it worked for Shannon because he dropped that the same day the situation happened. And so now it's been a split between Michelle and a split between Kendrick. Because Kendrick dropped the song only on IG, and they got the artwork is Black Air Force Ones.
Just so he coming with Black Air Force One energy.
I think Kendrick is more polished than Wayne, obviously. So that's why they did it. It's about the politics to me.
It's not about the politics. It's literally higher up there because he wasn't going to be performing this year had these situations not transpired.
Yeah.
Because nobody was like talking about Kendrick till he jumped on like that.
Exactly. It's politics.
Yeah.
He popping right now.
So it's not even really a more polished thing because you give somebody 6 months to prepare, they're going to give a good show. And so there are different shows where Wayne care more about performing and different shows where he's just getting a check. Exactly. I can tell if somebody came to get a check because the NBA performance he did in February, much better than the Essence Fest one.
Do you think he cares?
Yes. He released something today.
He released a video about
him. I've been working all day, y'all.
Let me see if I can find it while we're talking.
Yeah, he released a video about him.
So he said he was hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. I didn't listen to the whole thing.
Did he say he was hurt or was he disappointed?
Us.
Well, that's real. That's raw.
I mean, yeah, it is New Orleans where he always claiming his song. So
that is insane, too. Yeah.
You would think.
Master P said on Grady, I'm going to make him respect us.
Nah, that was Birdman.
He said
Birdman.
On Gladys.
Yes, on
Gladys.
There we go. There we go.
He gonna let you know Miss Gladys every day.
Nicki Minaj started talking another language on
her. Here it is right here. I'm gonna play it.
I know. That hurt. Hurt a lot. If you know what I'm talking about, it hurt a whole lot. I blame myself for not being mentally prepared for a letdown.
Just keep sleep.
And
well, listen, David.
Which is automatically mentally putting myself in that position like somebody told me that was my position. So I blame myself for that. But
listen to me.
I thought that was nothing, you know, I thought that was nothing better than that the best spot and that stage and that platform and my seat. And so it hurt. I hurt a whole lot. But y'all.
After this hardly treatment.
Y'all are fucking amazing.
You know, thanks.
It made me feel like shit not getting this opportunity. And when I felt like shit, you guys reminded me that I ain't shit without y'all. Mm-hmm. And
you dig me?
And that's an amazing reality. So, like I said,
he's the cribbing.
It broke me.
For each of you.
And I'm just trying to put me back together. But my God, have you all helped me. Thanks to all my peers, my friends, my family. Either my homies on sports television and everybody repping me. I really appreciate that. I really do. I feel like I let all of y'all down by not getting that opportunity. But I'm working on me. And I'm working. So, thank you.
Okay, wait. Was it offered to him? I'm confused.
No, it wasn't presented.
Okay. But the way he was talking was making me think.
No, he said because he wasn't presented with it.
Okay.
It's like the second time.
I think.
Yeah, because it was there before.
What I think was going to happen is how it's going to be like a surprise moment.
No, it's not.
I think it's going to be like a surprise type of thing.
No, it's not.
They have Kendrick there and then halfway through Wayne come out.
No, it's not.
It just those even.
He couldn't do that.
Why?
Because Drake is man.
Drake is.
Oh. Huh? Okay. Huh? Yeah, what? I'll get you. Because Young Money.
Oh, he couldn't perform with him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so why? Think about it. Wayne's on camera, well, on video, with a chain, with an OVO chain on, and there's somebody trying to play Not Like Us. He's saying, they don't like us. They don't like us. So he couldn't do it. So it don't matter, though. Because, like, we was telling other people, they were talking about, you see these performances, it was like, he'll have 6 months, and he would bring out, like, Drake, Nicki, and off of the strength of the Super Bowl, you would probably be able to see Eminem, Kanye, and Drake up there so they could perform forever.
Yo, that'd be nuts. That would have been lit.
I think that puts a ton of pressure on Kendrick to execute. He has to be perfect. I don't know what it's going to be, but because if it's not, they could have just had Wayne. They're going to say that anyway.
Well, I like that regardless. Contrary to what people believe, I actually am a Kendrick fan, and Kendrick is a fantastic performer. He's one of the better rapper performers out there. So he don't have to do nothing but what he always do. Like, if you've seen him when he performed with Dr. Dre and them.
Yeah, that was still a good performance. He ate.
If you see him, yeah. Like, if I was to play right now, him and Baby Keem performing Family Ties, like, he's going to do that. If you watch him in his videos, you can tell he's artsy. He performs. So I don't really have to worry about that. It's just the fact that, hey, like, it should have went to the hometown kid. Imagine, like, would that be the ghetto? It's like Super Bowl ever bringing, like, it wouldn't happen because you had Wayne. He's not bringing up No Limit. But he could bring up the Big Timers. And he could bring up Juvie. Like, that whole set, like, would go crazy. Like, imagine.
That would have definitely went.
I'm going to play a little of this so it ain't copyright. Or I may just take it out of the video. But I can see, like, this. If I was Wayne, this is what I would come out to. I would come out to this.
Oh, joint after this. This right here is crazy. Yeah, I feel big. You know what I mean? Like, not big in the sense of weight. You know what I mean? Like gaining weight up, nothing like that, like colossal, like, you know what I mean? Like, I heard you were looking for me. Hey, Mr. Gorgeous. Hello. Tell me where have you been? You know. They've been asking, they've been searching, they've been wondering. I know. Hey, Mr. Gorgeous. Hey, hello. Shit, you know. They've been asking, they've been searching,
they've been wondering. Yeah. So. All right, I'm going to pause it right there so it ain't copyright. Or I could just make it real low right there and YouTube shouldn't pick it up. But yeah, I would come out to that. But
yeah, he would have to be like historical though from the backstage, the beat dropping and him taking his time coming out.
I think it would. I think people like, so what I found out through all these beefs and all this stupid stuff is like, I forget, like now we got 20-year-olds that's online with us and they're very like immature and they're thinking, not understanding nothing, not realizing, like, I think Wayne, one of the last rappers, not including Eminem, to go platinum in a week. Selling physical copies. Ain't nobody did that since then.
Yeah.
Like, he's different. He can take your rapper favorite song and make it his, and you won't listen to the original no more.
That's what he was known for, them big remixes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man, you know what? Hey, Bump, hey, forget Kendrick. We want Gotti at the Super Bowl.
Gotti.
Five-star chick.
Yeah, they ain't ready for Gotti, man.
I mean, I don't know. But all in all, I think it'll be fine. People eventually like get over it.
They won't.
I think they will.
I don't think they will. I think
I'm talking about far as talking about. They'll probably say something like when it happens.
Exactly. Yeah, it'll be brought back up. It's gonna resurface.
I mean, all Kendrick gotta do is be Kendrick, but that's a whole another story that could technically I could talk 15, 20 minutes on of you know, Kendrick. People who like Kendrick or whatever, what I've been seeing online, they feel like they're more intelligent than some of the people who may not like him. It's a thing that people used to do with J. Cole.
Yeah, I was just about to say, him and J. Cole.
People used to say, you need a certain type of intelligence to listen to J. Cole. But I was like, they don't even talk, their subject matter is not that in-depth to where you need to go pull out dictionaries and the stars is to figure out, like, what they're talking about. There's other rappers like that will never get famous because that's what they rap about. Like, it's just stupid. It's only really just a way to placate and hate on people who are better communicators or direct rappers that they can actually just tell you exactly what it is versus trying to do a lot of lyrical gymnastics to make it seem like they saying more than what they are. Like it's like similar to when you see somebody with a resume, it's real wordy, but they ain't say nothing.
Oh my goodness. It's a whole bunch of filler words.
Yeah. Or you see somebody that, no offense, but you know, if they're a janitor. Lead sanitation engineer.
Yeah, engineer is crazy.
Led efforts to restore, led cleaning efforts to restore building power, whatever, whatever BS you can do. Like, you can definitely finesse yourself, but it don't mean the same thing as like, hey, I took out the trash in 30 rooms or whatever. Like,
yeah,
it is.
It sounds fancier.
I had a whole like back and forth with like, I don't even know if she was per se a Kendrick fan, but. It's like the reason why he was like so successful in the beef, and most of the people like myself, I've been listening to Drake since like 07. So people really never really liked him. They just tolerated him. And she was just talking about, the music industry is just like ambiguous. People talking about drugs and yada, yada, yada. But she was talking about Drake. And I was just like, I quoted on my threads right now, which is kind of picking up some more steam. And I was just like, people like this could never name album cuts from Drake. It's just always whatever song you might have heard on TikTok or the radio. It's never one of the introspective things where he rapping about his uncle or his mom or his life or time with his dad or stuff he going through with his kid or the industry. It's never none of them things. It's always something popular. And she kept on proceeding to say stupid stuff about he don't make empire music. He don't make music for black women. And I was like, well, every rapper don't have to do that. And I was like, Drake made Make Me Proud for Y'all. Nice for what? Fancy. He made a whole bunch of women records that make them happy when they get ready to go out and feel their power. So it was just stupid. She kept on going back and forth, and I was like, you just keep on naming popular songs. It's obviously you're not familiar with his catalog, and so I kind of just left it and let other people like come up to it because like most of y'all just don't listen to it. I'm like me saying Kendrick always rapping like real deep and knowing that he got songs where like he got commercial success. Like, you cannot be in the big three and not have commercial success records.
Yeah.
That's what it is. But it's just only one person that hate on because he's been running the game for so long.
Yep.
And all the opportunity. Like, even the funny thing is, they thought they had a one-up on Drake. Oh, Kendrick performing the Super Bowl. And then it came out, hey, Drake's been approached to do the Super Bowl numerous times. And it's fact-checked. It's verified. So it's like, what now? So he turned it down a couple of times. It's essential to, like, a dude getting happy about some chick that like everybody want, but then another dude is saying like, I'm good on you for a while.
Yeah.
Or the one she be blowing up his phone, he's like, I'm good.
Uh-huh.
And the funny thing is, I think it's a chess match. Right after they announced that, the next day, Drake had the little conversation with whatever the ambassador dude is for the World Cup. Cause the World Cup gonna be in Toronto in what, 2026 or something like that?
He gonna eat that down.
Sure. So That was pretty cool to see. But all in all, it's entertainment, folks. It is not that serious. I promise you it's not that serious for you to get mad at.
Man, these folks are childhood heroes, man. They gonna defend
The only person that people really grew up with, like if they want to be honest, that's consistently made music almost for everybody's life. Like, well, that's consistently made music for almost every year of some people's life is Drake. If you can go back like 15 years, you could probably think of a Drake song or something that came out that year that you remember when you was at school.
Houston, Atlanta, Vegas.
You was first in corporate America. You was, I remember like I graduated undergrad November 2013. That's when Nothing Was the Same came out. I remember his song Furthest Thing was a song I used for like my graduation invite. That second little transition part.
Yeah, man, Drake been around for a minute, man.
So everybody got a song. Like 2017, More Life came out. I got my first security job. 2018, I graduated with my master's. I'm listening to Scorpion and Nonstop. I can keep on going.
He loved Drake.
He's my favorite artist, but I can keep going. I mean, I can do similar things for like Cole, too, because I started listening to Cole in college, and then I listened to Kendrick in college, but I listened to Cole more. It's like if I'll go my rappers I listen to the most, it'll probably be Drake, Cole. And I actually listen to Big Sean more than I listen to Kendrick. I think Big Sean make more enjoyable music to me.
Yeah.
For me to listen to than Kendrick does.
Yeah, Big Sean be dropping sweet.
He be what?
He be dropping some heat.
Oh, I thought you said something else.
I thought you said something else.
Hey, hit that mace on you. Pause.
Oh, of course your mind is there.
She thought it too. I'm like, how you know? He don't want to answer. It's all right.
This man right here.
Sometimes you got to hit that pause. Well, you know what I'm saying? Now, before we get into the fun stuff, I do want to talk about something that's a little more serious, yet the debate was so unserious.
Right.
And according to my AKAs, it's supposed to be a serious matter. Donald Trump and Kamala had a debate. And I know you guys saw the last podcast where we were talking about Kamala was full of it because she talking about she was cooking greens in the tub. We know black people do not cook no type of greens in no tub.
It was just, I don't know. Like you said last time, she not like us. When I seen them videos of her with the accent, even before the debate, I was just like, I can't. She did hold herself together better during the debate. She gave more president than he gave. She gave, you know, I can trust you more than he gave. He was mad. She was saying stuff that he just couldn't get over and couldn't stop responding to. They were asking him questions on a whole new segment, and he was answering or responding to what she said from before. It was chaotic.
Yeah, they were being kind of more one-sided with her. Now, I don't know if this has been verified yet, but they say the lady with the laid hair was supposedly one of her sorors as well. I don't know how true that is.
I felt like the guy was gunning for Trump. Like, he was not, I was like, hold on now. Hey, is there some bias
here? I ain't going to lie. Like, the stuff about the Springfield, Ohio stuff, I don't know what to believe. Because, of course, somebody who run the city going to say, nah, that ain't true. But the people on the ground saying something about them cats and stuff. I don't know how real it is about people eating cats and dogs. But I got a Twitter friend that's actually said, hey, I know a guy who said he caught the neighbor's cat, tricked them, and ate them.
That's too much for you.
I know. But
look, that's too much for me.
One of the funniest quotes from that night to me was, so they asked, for whatever reason, they asked him, like, why, what was the issue about, you know, Kamala being black, or whatever. And Trump said, because I quoted him on my Twitter, he said, whatever she wants to be, it's okay with me. That was so funny to me. But the funny thing is,
no, his face was funny when he was saying it.
She did not rebuttal that. She just talked about something else, and she never said, I'm black. And to clarify this, I don't care if you're black, white, green, orange. It don't matter to me. But what you cannot do is try to use identity politics
to get our vote. To get the vote, yeah. That's where he was getting it with there, right? He was saying, hey, well,
that's why he said that. He said, first you said you were white, now you're saying you're black. That's literally what he said.
He's saying, I don't care. I mean, he didn't say it blatantly, but he said it, right? I don't care what she is, but just don't change who you are for the politics.
Yep. Yeah. And that's what it's been seeming like. And
the accent is outrageous. Did y'all see that video?
No, I'm gonna have to check that out.
It was outrageous. It was like, what is it? It was outrageous. It was completely outrageous. We know she don't talk like that, and she was trying to talk like she had a country accent.
Really?
And that's not how you talk. You work in politics. You never spoke like that before.
And she was raised in Canada.
Even more for you to not be acting like your country.
But, you know, if you go to Howard and Cross, then you automatically want us. I'm just saying. What my boy say, people have done things that they have not done before.
I think the only thing that made me, like, honestly laugh out loud was when she was talking about all the stuff that she's planning to do. And when it was his turn, he was like, well, why you ain't did it? When I tell you I was weak, he was like, you've been in office for 4 years. Why you ain't did it? Why don't you just go down there and do what you said you're going to do? Why haven't you did it? And that was a valid point because the people have been saying, what have you done?
Yeah. And then I'll address that because everybody's been like, well, she's the vice president. The way he's asking the question is he's envisioning her as an embodiment of Joe. So looking at him as one is the same.
Immediately, yes.
So this whole time, these are questions he's going to say to Joe. So he's saying to her, because everybody probably feel like Joe couldn't do his job anyway. Falling down steps, like falling off bikes. So he probably was not doing anything anyway. So instead of saying you, he probably said, well, why y'all didn't do it? But instead he said you. That's what I feel. I know that's what he means. Because I was talking about how, oh, we're going to do this tax credit and we're going to do this first-time home buyers thing. I said, Joe Biden said same thing 4 years ago, and the bill never got passed. And somebody said, well, you know why it didn't get passed. I said, it's cool. I'm just letting you know it's not going to get passed regardless.
Yeah.
They're not going to make this stuff be equal for people to buy houses. It's pretty much meant to be everybody on the bottom and people who at the top. That's literally what it is. There is no middle anymore.
Oh, another thing that made me laugh was when he was like, she wants everyone to be on government insurance. And I mean, that's kind of what it sounded like, what she was saying. So I'm not a Kamala hater. I'm just, calling it like I heard it. And
yeah. I know some places do have the universal insurance or whatever. I don't know how that works. I don't know the inner workings of that. I know I did put on my Twitter about, hey, didn't healthcare costs and things rise when Obamacare was launched? Now, some people said, obviously, no, but I was like, nah, that can't be the truth. Because I remember being in college with kids who had parents who were in the medical field and saying how that was, like, affecting how they were getting paid and all this other stuff. You've seen premiums go up.
Yeah.
Like, what I pay in premiums biweekly is crazy. Mm. Like, back in the day, my parents, we had, like, a $20 or $25 copay. That was it.
Oh, no. Not for a family. Not today.
Yeah, so.
Please.
All those different things, like in theory, I think it was good, but I would have think would have been easier have been like a person like myself. If I said, hey, you know what? I want to be able to carry like my mom, my dad, whatever. Like I shouldn't have to worry about that. Like they with me, I got they whatever. Just let me carry them. But you can't really do that. They had to be like some, what? Strenuous. I can't even think of the word when I'm getting tongue tied. I say extreme circumstances to where like they can't fit for themselves or that type of thing to where. Like, you provide all their monetary benefit and stuff throughout the year. But I was like, that shouldn't be like that. If a person want to carry their parents or siblings, I think they should be able to. That's the way you can rectify, like, all the stuff that they're trying to give and incentivize. They can – that's how they get people. Oh, the $6,000 for a new child. Like, most people ain't having kids already because it's still expensive. And then even when you get it, it's not going to help you none when it comes tax time anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So –
actually, it's right here. Obamacare was a huge win for insurance companies because it basically made it illegal not to have it. And with the government subsidies that gave the major carriers a blank check to charge whatever they wanted, because even if you couldn't afford it, the government would pay for it. And I forgot about that. You was real deal getting penalized if you didn't have insurance.
In Texas, yeah.
That was stupid.
It was not.
How you going to, like, my teacher in 10th grade taught me that in order to kind of judge how well a presidency went, you got to wait like 10, 15 years afterwards. So you just really start paying attention to when the dominoes fall. And so it's coming about that time where you're trying to look at what really did Mr. Kenyon Man do when he was in office? Because they told us he was black, but he's not black either. I'm just saying.
I'm trying to hold it together.
It's okay. That's what we're here for. Now it's time to intro the pod, but welcome back to the Textual Talk. I'm your host, HD, and we got with us today
your girl, Cyber Shorty. Hey, y'all.
Hey, you got... I don't have any nicknames, so... Lee.
This is...
this is what, bro?
This is Lee from the Clay Talk Show. He came to join us today. He's been on here a couple of times, so we thought we'd get him out of his house so he could do something today.
Yeah.
Now, I know y'all... some of y'all enjoyed the intro. I keep on current events and talk about some funny stuff. Because I seen some comments and people like that. We actually talked about Kamala and some other things. So I was like, why not? Now, I know this particular question was, I don't know if this came from you or him. It was saying, what particular job in cybersecurity would you not touch with a 50-foot pole?
That's for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw that already.
Don't try to tell them where I got it from. Dang.
Oh. No, I did get it from Reddit. I really did.
I saw it.
I did get it from Reddit.
Like a few days ago.
You already know. Penetration testing. Hey, don't shoot the messenger. That's not for me at all. Immediately no.
Correct.
Immediately no. Get me out of here. I would like be climbing up the wall trying to get out of there for sure. No, thank you.
Insane.
I don't know what I would choose.
The job you would stay away from? I would stay away from me, level one sock work for sure.
I probably would say that. Maybe like just like, well, I can't say that because it's like.
You might learn something new. You're the first person to get something crazy that didn't happen.
I will say this. It's not level one sock work. It's if you're at a level one MSS where all you're doing is sending tickets over. If that's what we're doing, count me out, fam.
Yeah.
That's tight.
That seems like that's what a lot of people do, though. So
I'd rather do that than pen test. So
crazy.
Ticking me up.
Crazy.
Ticking me up.
What's that? What'd you say?
I said ticking me up.
What's ticking me up from?
She or
no, I'm just saying I'd rather do the tickets.
Yeah. Oh, ticking me up. Yeah. I thought you were saying ticking me up.
No.
No, man. She crazy, though.
But real quick, I want to talk about that. Apple did introduce the iPhone 16.
Blah.
How y'all feel about it? Blah. I know you feel away. She got the wrong one, y'all.
I'm so hurt, and I'm not upgrading, so it is what it is. I'm going to just use my iPad, but, I mean, I'm excited for it. Honestly and truly, I really am excited for it. When I'm done paying my phone off, then I will get whatever new version that is, but I'm not going to get this one because I'm still paying my current phone off. But I'm excited for it. The best thing that they did was drop the AI capabilities. I'm so ready to schedule a text message. It's not even funny.
Wow. So basically, Apple is trying to innovate things that Samsung's been doing since the Galaxy 9.
You can schedule text messages?
Listen, yes. Wait.
Yes.
Hold your horses. Android was doing this back when I was in college.
That's what I was
Samsung
saying.
Samsung is not special.
Wait. Scheduling text messages.
Yes. Yeah, scheduling text messages. That is nothing new at all.
Okay, that is
insane.
Back in the day,
I would not be buying an iPhone ever again.
Exclusive, y'all. Back in the day when I was younger, I had a list of ladies that was getting like the good morning text or whatever. So,
you just schedule it. Scheduling it back in the day is crazy.
Yes.
Not automation.
This has been going on.
So, like, for example, if it wasn't native through the app, the best thing by Android.
Wait. I'm trying to think. I feel like I do remember with some phones.
Man,
but it wasn't like it is now.
It literally was. Like, you literally could say, hey, what time you want to send this message, and you wake up and it'd be sent. You can. Changing the text font, the bubbles, the background. Yeah. Android been doing that way back
then. I just go SMS, schedule them out.
I'm going back. Before I buy the iPhone 16, I will rock this iPhone 11.
Your screen, first of all.
Please show your screen.
So this is how you get them, right? It says this is cracked. This is just a wallpaper, right? This is this is a wallpaper. This is nothing cracked. This is just a wallpaper.
Okay, I had to make sure.
But at the end of the day, iPhone 16, iPhone 15, 14, 13, 12, they've been the same phone since forever. They have not really did any major upgrades.
They've been slightly different. Like, the difference is with the AI, the new chips.
That's what it is, too.
The technology when you got the FaceTime. Like, you share screen and FaceTime.
That stuff been going on with
I know, I'm just saying what they've been doing. But see, the one thing I give Apple credit for is they don't jump into the technology until that's done right. Now, and also, these new phones will come with iOS 18, and they'll be having RCS implemented instead of SMS. So now, no more bad pictures and videos from Android phones.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to, I ain't going to lie, it's probably going to sway a lot of people to get Android phones now.
Well, yeah.
The saving grace for most basic iPhone users was FaceTime, iMessage.
That's why I'm here.
I know.
I'm here.
I was busy today, but I had actually planned for this episode for me to have a new Google Pixel 9. That way you could have tested it. Like, I think I want one of these.
I want that Galaxy folding phone. That's what I want.
Having an alternative phone, but I'm never gonna get rid of my iPhone. Like, I don't mind trying something new, but all the people that I know, and we're not the same, but most people that I know, who made that transition from iPhone to Android, they hate it.
They probably got the wrong phone. My favorite line is when Tommy is at the cemetery with Tariq and them, and Monet roll up behind him. He say, who got the balls to pull the strap on me?
Yeah.
I thought y'all was going to finish the line since I told y'all earlier.
I forgot. I'm not going to lie.
She said, you don't need balls. You just need strap. Much say you need steel in the upper hand.
That would Tommy would kill everybody.
At this time,
she not about that.
Now she is.
Monet been
the funniest. You know the funniest thing though is like
Tommy too.
The fact that only Mecca only really understood like what type of time Ghost and them was on. Like everybody else, that's the funniest thing with people dealing with Tariq, not knowing who his pops and them really was. Only person who know is Zion.
Yeah, he said, "What up?" I ain't gonna say it because she ain't watched it.
She know he said, "Little Ghost." That was before the break.
Okay. Yeah. I don't remember, so.
I'm gonna say I can't say nothing, you know, because she.
Real quick, do y'all watch House of Dragon? My God.
Never heard of it.
It's on Max. It is magnificent. You have to watch it, please. Just watch one season.
Something that'll be better your speed is Emperor of Ocean Park. The most different show on TV right now.
Ocean Park?
What is that on?
About a judge. It's MGM Plus, so it's on Prime. A judge dies, like, suddenly, and his kids become, like, the main character. So, the dude who plays Ronnie in Raising Kanan, he's, like, the lead character. His name's Talcott. Then you got his sister, Mariah, and then his brother, Addison. And it's a twist. They trying to figure out, did he die natural causes, or was he, like, killed? And then they start unraveling these different things that connect their dad, and he's, like, a different person than that they thought. He cold-blooded for some of the stuff he, like, did as the series progressed. It's also a book, but that's what's pretty good. But I wanted to let Destiny read. So last week, we talked about Halliburton and the hack, and they went online, and how just the ongoing threats to our critical infrastructure that these threat actors are hidden. And so I think we got an update for Halliburton about data exfiltration that's been confirmed. So I wanted to give that over to her since that's her story.
Yes. So the title of the article is Halliburton confirms data was stolen in ongoing cyber attack. Another one by my guy, Zach. So it says energy giant Halliburton has confirmed its systems were hacked and that intruders accessed and exfiltrated information following a cyber attack last week. In a brief filing with government regulators on Tuesday, Halliburton said it was evaluating the nature and scope of stolen information and what data breach notifications it is required to make. Halliburton said last week it took some of its systems offline following the detection of the cyber attack. The company now says it is working to identify effects of the incident on its ongoing oil and fracking operations. When contacted Tuesday, their spokesperson Amina Rivera did not comment or say if the company knows what kinds of data were stolen. We are not commenting beyond what was included in our filing. Halliburton says its ongoing investigation and response includes the restoration of its systems and the assessment of impacted data. Much of the company's public-facing systems remain offline at the time of writing. The oil and fracking giant, one of the world's largest energy companies, has close to 48,000 employees in dozens of countries. That's what it says. Let me see. TechCrunch has seen a copy of a ransom note purportedly related to the Halliburton incident that claims to have encrypted and stolen the company's files. The note says a ransomware gang known as Ransom Hub is taking credit for the cyber attack. Ransom Hub's dark web leak site, which the gang uses to publish stolen files to extort its victims into paying a ransom, has not yet listed Halliburton as one of its victims. It's not uncommon for ransomware and extortion gangs to publish the name of its victims when negotiations fall through. When a representative for Ransom Hub, when reached by TechCrunch, did not comment on the attack. And it says Halliburton said it has and will continue to incur expenses related to the cyber attack. Halliburton made $23 billion in revenue in 2023, and their CEO made $19 million in total executive compensation during the year. So, yeah, that is what happened there. I think it's insane for them to say that they're not commenting. Clearly, your files were encrypted, so it was ransomware, so clearly they got you. It's between the lines. If you know, you know.
Was the
vulnerability? And the system still being offline? Be serious.
What was the vulnerability exposed? So I was like making sure you could talk.
They didn't say.
Yeah. I like to see
Hold on. Let me see what they filed with the note.
I like to see what type of weakness.
But you'll start seeing Halliburton and Schlumberger and Chevron, Shell, all them. They're going to start hiring more cyber people. Matter of fact, I have a client that's working, doing a cybersecurity job for Shell right now. So I need to hit them up and see, like, I know they're about to start hiring again. Because that's all the healthcare companies been doing the same thing. They'll say, yeah, we've seen what happened to United. So we're trying to ramp up. They told me that verbatim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little too late when it's already done hit. But
they told me that verbatim on the call. It's like, yeah, we trying not to get hit like them. While y'all look for that, I'm going to go into this LinkedIn post, and okay, I want to get your thoughts on it. Go ahead.
It says on Friday, TechCrunch, this is in a past article, identified a potential security issue that allows anyone to access their internal systems through its single sign-on provider.
How?
When asked by TechCrunch if it was aware of the issue and if Halliburton provides the means to allow for the public recording of security flaws, Halliburton spoke person declined to answer and reiterated the company's boilerplate statement. Yikes. Hate them for them.
Right.
Interesting.
Need some zero trust going on there.
Immediately.
So this guy is a senior principal engineer at AWS. He says, as a black person in tech, I've somehow been relegated to underrepresented or labeled as diverse. This doesn't sit well with me. Please don't call me diverse. I'm fully represented as I try to bring my best self to the job almost every day. Years ago, I suggested that I'm not underrepresented. Instead, others are overrepresented.
Period.
There's been a focus for many years around the topic of making technical roles more available to everyone. They have manifested themselves in boot camps, special conferences, and direct engagements with college campuses. I'm not sure if this is the most efficient path. Instead of focusing solely on the underrepresented populations, have we looked at the overrepresented cohort? From my experience, there isn't an entry-level skills gap. There are people from all races, religions, genders, nationalities, and ethnicity. Ooh, this is getting me.
Yeah, get it
ethnicities.
Out.
Ethnicities. There
yeah,
we go.
Yeah, teach them some.
When I read fast, the words get to me somewhere on my tongue. Who have what it takes to succeed in technical roles. The problem is that they are drowned out and aren't seen or listened to. I don't have a grand solution to this concern. All I can do is make a request. If you've had any amount of success in your career or life, go find someone that doesn't look like you and introduce them to your world. Bring them into your circles. Let them interact with your people. The issue isn't a lack of skill, but rather a lack of access to the spaces crowded by the overrepresented groups. I encourage you to leverage your success and connections to create access and opportunity for talented individuals from not overrepresented backgrounds. Identifying rising professionals in your network, nominate them for open roles and promotions, and bring them along to expand their access to the spaces and resources that have enabled your own career growth. By supporting the next generation of tech leaders, you can drive meaningful, lasting change. And before y'all give y'all comments, I meant to congratulate y'all at the beginning for y'all promotion.
Period.
Yeah. Oh, woo! I didn't know.
Yeah, I meant to say something in the chat. I was like, yeah, Destiny got promoted too.
Yeah, I did.
Didn't tell nobody, huh? It's on the low low.
I did. I told my close friends.
Whoa. That's a hurt. That's
but
that really hurt.
I actually agree with like a lot of this, especially I gotta find that article, but I said one of the biggest things of why it's not more minorities in these spaces is a lack of access.
Oh, if I were in Michigan doing this, no way would I be here because it's not as prevalent, saturated.
That's mostly black cities except maybe Atlanta.
Yeah.
That post reminded me of Marcus' post. I think I sent you that like a few weeks ago. I don't know if it's still up because he's so direct to the point where he was like
the Martian dude.
No, Marcus Hutchison.
I don't know who that is.
The guy who stopped the WannaCry. Yeah,
I was thinking about Marcus Wells, but yeah.
Yeah, he said at this point. It might as DEI is the new N word at this point because
and we might have to stop the pod with that.
Hey, hey man,
no, because that's a good take on it for sure.
He said because somebody hit him up in the DM and said, "Man, this DEI stuff. How are you in your position? Do you think DEI has sailed you past everyone else? Because I don't see why I'm not able to get where I want to be at."
And then he posted the guy. He said, at this point, DEI must be the new N-word because what? Why do I get all these weirdos in my DM?
The guy was basically saying, how you doing it? And I can't do it because I feel like I'm better than you. Because
they think they conflate DEI with affirmative action. And not realizing that white women benefited the most from affirmative action anyway. I've been on like interviews sometimes, like people of my same age and like directors and stuff like that. I'd be like, huh? Well, how you get there that fast?
Yeah, man, that's yeah, just hilarious.
I know, like sometimes people get a chance, like you rarely get a chance when you ain't got the complexion for the protection.
I think I said that in the past pod that we did. It's really important for you to help someone else out.
Yeah.
Like someone you truly believe in, obviously. Not every single person that comes knocking on your door, but for the people that you believe in their skill set and their capabilities, and you know it's just a lack of them not knowing, you're disgusting to not. And I'm not talking about 50 people, but you should be able to help someone else once you figure it out, for sure.
No, that's facts. Like, before I left Optiv, we were interviewing, I think we had like 3 spots on there. And it was a black guy that interviewed. He was not the strongest. He couldn't answer all the questions. But we convened together, and we was like, hey, bump it. They be putting people on there, don't know what to do. We going to let him get on.
Period.
And he's still there doing good. So I was like,
you just needing the opportunity and space to learn and grow. And someone that you can lean on.
Because everybody else, when you get to the company that's been there for years, be mediocre. I was like,
he just stole the words out of my mouth. I said, hey, mediocrity is what, you know, a lot of people, I'm not going to say exactly who, but a lot of people are so used to getting by mediocrity levels of knowledge, and now it looks like oppression when the other group is doing
elevating.
They're elevating their skill sets to the next level, and now they're getting picked over them. Now it looks like it's oppression. Now it's DEI is the problem. No, these people have put in the work, the time, and the effort to be better than the baseline. I have Network Plus, but I'm a 15-year-in network engineer. Like, no. These people have gone above that one certification in their career.
But I won't necessarily say that because it's not really the certification. Because I've ran into people like that don't really have a lot of certs and they got the skills. It's just these other people who don't have anything. No education, no skills. You ask them something, oh, how did you figure that out? Like, how am I figuring something out if I've been in the company like a couple of weeks that you should have been showing me?
Exactly.
But I think it's because they're not like us. Honestly, they're not young and fresh and curious, and that's why they value diversity so much, is because they know the diverse mindset, thoughts, the way you think is differently than someone who's been here for 20 years. You trying to figure out, well why are we doing that? Those are the questions that you're asking that they want you to ask, because if they don't have that fresh new perspective in, then things will always be the same.
Tell me about it. It's just a lot. So like I said, I had an episode where I went to town, and me and him, this is probably going to segue into a conversation he want to talk about, but recruiters, interview processes, interviewing, they interviewing you knowing good and damn well they didn't offer somebody the role, and you just wasting your time to get on the interview. They got the decency to let you know that beforehand, because you're supposed to interview everybody, then see who the best.
But sometimes it's just an HR thing. You know, we know we're finna hire Andrew, but we gonna interview them other 5 people because we gotta cover our you know?
Yeah. No, for sure. But the fact, I think my situation made me so mad because I had somebody on the inside and I got nothing but great reviews. The interviewers didn't even know the person was offered. And they've been losing people left and right. That's why he asked me about the company before, and I said, nah, don't go there. They don't treat us right. And then he found the glass door reviews. He was like, yeah, you was right.
Glass door tell you the truth.
Blind.
Oh, blind too.
Oh, yeah. Nah, man, sometimes they'd be full of, man, they'd be full of it on blind.
I feel like blind was more.
It was better during the pandemic.
I went there on there then. But last year, I feel like it was different than where it's at today.
Well, yeah. You got to fit about the most recent.
Nah, but like he said, though, it, like, I ain't gonna lie, it do feel like, and if people watch this, they'll probably say like, oh, some of us are whining or whatever, but I don't think it's whining. You just feel the way sometimes you go through a lot of interview processes and you never see somebody that look like you. It just is what it is. You be like, I can't get nobody. I can't even get a Logic. I can't get a J. Cole on the panel.
Or even getting there and realizing that that's just not gonna work. Don't matter. Like, it's just, it's not going to work. I felt like that before. Like, I'm not, I can't even, nothing, dead. I can't do this forever here with these people.
Oh, no, no, definitely. That happens. I mean, that's why, was it the last episode or whatever? Or whoever I was talking to, I said how I got better at figuring out what the company culture is, what's your management style, what's the job actually entail, what's on the job description. Tell me what we're going to be doing.
Because the job description be lying.
Facts.
For sure.
I was talking to my mans about that today.
And even in the job, like, and also, like, something to be mindful of is if you're interested in a role, you got to talk to as many people as possible who do the role. You have to, because it can mean one thing at one company and another thing at another company and something completely separate at the third company. So the more people that you can talk to, the more exposure you can get to what ifs and what is this like and what is that like, the better you're able to understand, you know, kind of what's going on.
Yeah, every single time. So it's like everything need to revamp. I can't wait till I get my recruiter friends back on here, specifically the ones that dealt with DEI and tell people how they were just saying they got DEI people, but not really wanting to do DEI, but it's just something they say, a checkbox that they got.
I love the stories where it's like the recruiter and they're like, yeah, they pulled me inside and was like, you hiring a lot of black people? And they was like, I am. And you don't say nothing when they hire a lot of people that are not black, so.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or theory is they purposely making your interview bad so they can hire they people.
Hmm.
And I ain't gonna lie, I got a feeling I was talking to them the other day and I thought it was gonna be like that. He know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Did I tell you, so y'all probably didn't watch the episode I dropped today, but I was telling my guest at the time, I was like, bro, he was talking about the Indians. And I said, I think I caught them up in a scam. I was telling you, but I never showed you. He was like, hey, you wanna do this role, corp to corp, yada, yada, yada. What is it? I was like, okay, who's the client, whatever. And they gave me the names. And I said, oh, okay. They was like, it's hybrid. I said, where the office at? Bro gave me the location. It was a Verizon store downtown.
Bye. And it was like, definitely immediately a scam.
I was like, bro, Verizon operate out of Irving.
He gave you the small store.
He didn't say nothing back after that.
Yeah, because he was caught red-handed. Oh, this guy's smarter. Smarter than we thought.
I always try to ask who the client is. Because one, I might already be dealing with the client. And two, I'll go to the client's page sometimes to see if the job open or not. Sometimes I can not even worry about you imply like directly.
Yeah.
Because you're just trying to get paid. And then all y'all not going to try to bring me the highest rate. That's the other thing, too. You give it enough time, everybody going to hit you about the same job, and you're going to see who paying the highest out of whatever recruiting company. Some people who's just desperate to get the contract, and some people that's trying to help you eat. But yeah, man. What you want to talk about the recruiters? I know they be mad on your head top, but what you want to say? Because when I tell y'all, I brought Lee on because he always talking about recruiters and how they don't know what they doing. And
I mean, it makes sense.
They waste his time.
They waste a lot of people's time. Yeah, I don't even know where to start. Okay, I can start with this most recent one. So you reach out about a job. You know, they send the mass in mails out, right? Okay. You get the little screening call. Yeah, I think you'll be a great fit for this role. Submitting you, then maybe what? A day later, it's filled by someone else. Okay, that's fine. But why does 2 weeks later, you reach out with the same exact email, with the same exact job that you said that was just filled? And I say, hey, do you know you sent this to me already, right? No response. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about with recruiters.
So what does that even, what could that mean? That
it was lying?
It wasn't real.
It probably wasn't even a job.
Or it didn't work out. But how you tell me it's filled and it didn't work out? It should have worked out because you filled it.
Yeah, 2 weeks later, it's the same exact job, word for word, same exact reach out.
And that also reminds me of the jobs that stay open, bro. I didn't apply to Bayless Cotton White like 3-4 times. Luckily, I've not gotten auto rejected yet. But I'm like, when I always see something open all the time, it means, A, I don't know what y'all doing, or somebody quit, or something is going on. Because Ernst & Young should be bad for that. He's had the same role open in downtown Dallas every single time.
That's insane.
Every single time. And I was like, yeah, they don't know what they're doing. Because the stuff they had me do in that interview that day didn't make sense. And back in the days where...
This video is being sponsored by Textual.
Consulting. Are you still struggling to get into cybersecurity? Are you not getting interviews? Do you have a bad resume? Or is it all of the above? Well, if that's you, then we got you covered at Textual Consulting. My name is Henry Davis. I'm a career coach and a cybersecurity professional, and I've helped hundreds, maybe even thousands of people get into cybersecurity with my coaching and my content that you've seen in various places. Now, I specialize in specifically getting people in the blue team, that would be incident response or SOC analysts. I can cover everything from your entry level to your medium to your advanced skills and really help you outperform your resume. You don't believe me? Check out some of these testimonials that I've had from recent clients. So if you're interested, click the link in my bio, textualconsulting.com/offerings to see what offerings that we have available for you. Now, back to the show.
What I wore? Did I wear a suit? I had to wear a suit, came downtown Dallas.
Do you miss interviewing in person?
No.
Neither. It takes all the nerves off of it.
I don't know.
For me.
It's a waste of time. I missed the dress up part.
I'm a
waste of time.
I'm a very anxious, sweaty interviewee, so I'd rather be at home.
Waste of time.
Because I'm not even... You can feel it on me. You can feel the nervousness on me in person.
But that's why, I say good interviewers will see that and ease you up. Mm-hmm. Like they'll say something like funny,
like a joke or something.
Like if I said, you got any concepts or plans on how to do this, and then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, and you'll start laughing. So that's what great interviewers do. That's what your company has did before with Icebreakers with me. That's what other companies like I recommend people to work at, like Capital One has had a really good, solid process. Dude was smoking a vape while interviewing me. I swear for God,
that's
two white men.
That's outrageous.
I know he cool.
He probably didn't mean to either.
Nah, he meant to. He meant to. I know. So it's funny, you and I had the same.
You do it.
Thing. Yeah, I'm gonna talk about it briefly. It's about Avis Car Rental. Thousands of Avis Car Rental customers had personal data stolen in cyber attack. This is what I'm saying, though. At some point, the people are going to have to get something passed and say, hey, my personal data stolen, I don't want just a year of credit monitoring. I want money.
And I need it now.
Okay. And my boy say, you ever seen Blue Streak?
Yes.
When, what's his name in there talking crazy? I'm telling.
That movie is so funny.
Put your arms on the chicken and noodles. I mean, on the noodles. Which one? Chicken or beef? Chicken.
Yeah.
Show them how you do the eye gouge and thing. Ah!
That's good.
I watched nothing but TV when I was the only child. But Car Rental John Avis is notifying hundreds of thousands of people that their personal information and driver's license numbers were driver's license numbers. So you really can just order a new license with my number and get it sent to a different place.
Uh-huh. Like tonight.
The New Jersey headquarter company said in a data breach notice filed with several U.S. attorneys over the past week that it discovered intruders in one of its business applications on August 5th, which means they was there long before August 5th, and took efforts to end the unauthorized access, which the company said began 2 days earlier. That's cap. They didn't move that fast. They was there before that. Avis did not disclose the nature of the cyber attack, and details of the incident remain scarce. And Avis spokesperson did not respond to an email requesting comments about the cyber attack. In a data breach notice filed late last week with Iowa's Attorney General, the car rental company said that the stolen information includes customer names, mailing addresses, email addresses, phone numbers, dates of birth, credit card. Hold on.
All their details, basically.
It's not yet known why Avis stored the sensitive customer. Yeah. First of all, they're going to be out of business. Enterprise probably going to either buy them. But I want, if all y'all store my stuff in clear text or however they got it, I want money. That ain't gonna, I can pay for my monitoring myself.
But I think people don't understand like how serious it is, because people will be like, well, my credit already bad. It's way bigger than that. It's way bigger than your credit being bad temporarily right now. You can fix your credit. If you walk around saying you don't care and somebody done bought a house and a Maserati in your name.
I just had an epiphany though. Why don't we have identity and access management over social security numbers?
Because
it costs too much money.
Because we're not there yet, and it costs too much money.
We should be there.
We should be there for sure.
It should not be hard to have the national database of social security numbers and put in some script to say either.
They help in Ukraine.
So one of the two things can happen. You can rotate. Well, it'd probably be kind of hard to rotate people's social security number. But maybe instead of you telling people to use their socials, maybe we should have personal IDs. Like something that's not tied to our credit or anything. It's only tied to our account, whatever. Like, why do you need my social?
A code you make up.
Like, why do you need all that stuff when I'm renting a car? At this point, you got to figure out what do you need, what you don't.
We need an alias. Yeah. We need an alias because social security numbers are like Tic Tacs. They're everywhere.
At this point, every social security number has already been exposed.
At this point, the CISO agents.
Sorry. Go
ahead. No, you're good.
I was just going to say it's not if it'll happen to you, but literally when it will happen to you.
On Monday's filing with Maine Attorney General revealed that Avis's data breach affects a total of 299,006 individuals to date. A separate filing with Texas reported that Texas had the most affected state residents at 34,592 individuals. Further data breach notices are expected to be filed in the coming weeks. Avis, which owns Budget Car, Hire, and Zipcar, car sharing brands has more than 10,000 rental locations in 180 countries, according to the company's most recent full-year financial earnings report in February. Avis made $12 billion in revenue during 2023, and the company's chief executive, Joe Ferraro, reportedly made $10.2 million in total comp that year. It is not clear who at Avis oversees cybersecurity for the company. Whoever they is, they're going to be putting the fries in the bag.
I just like how it says, where was it? I just lost it. That it discovered intruders in one of its business applications on August 5th and took efforts to end the unauthorized access, which they said began 2 days earlier.
And we know how this didn't happen. Somebody got phished and compromised.
I want to know. I want them to break it down. I want to read.
They're not going
to
break it down.
Exactly. You see what they said?
The fact that they all this access was really available for people to get in a business application should tell you something.
And like, it sounds like it was the key business application, like the CRM system. It sounds like it was that.
Because that's crazy. Like, this stuff should be segmented anyway.
But where's the auditing of this stuff? It should be a third party auditor to accredit these people's cyber program.
Where's obviously the training?
That's not happening.
Now. Earlier, the guy was talking about, I don't believe it's an entry-level gap. It's people that got no experience that know what should have been done to alleviate this stuff. They would have came right in and say, hey, so what happens if somebody get access to this? Like, you're supposed to ask all them questions when you're using these applications and what information is on there and your data at rest. That's why data privacy and all that is a big deal.
It's that application being the application because it has so much data in it. That wasn't just part two of the major app. No, it was the major app that they probably put in the system when you call or when you online trying to get a rental. It was that application.
Right. Let's see what Lee had. Oh, this is a good one for you. Go ahead and talk about your government cyber professionals versus the private sector. I feel like you got a lot of passion right there.
Well, I don't have a lot of...
The person you showed me, he had a lot of passion. Yeah. So how about you read you don't got to read it. Just break down what he always talking about them.
Yeah, so there's this ideology that people who work in gov tech or government sector doesn't have the skills that's transferable to the private sector, which plays a part into why they're not paid as well. But regardless of what job you have in government, you're not really making a whole lot of money. So that really doesn't tie into your skill set. However, goodness gracious, okay. However, so you cannot tell some people who did military cyber operations that they don't have skills that's transferable to the private sector when these are top primed candidates that are being recruited for when they're separating the military, which is why they usually do one tour and get out because they know they can almost triple their income when they're in that private sector. So you're telling you work in gov, you don't have really any cyber skills. All you do is run Nessus scans and you follow NIST that FedRAMP and private sector looks at you like, what is that? But all in all, it's just a compliance framework, right? Everyone has their own compliance framework, which means if you know one, you can read and learn the other one and see how it applies to that environment. It's not rocket science. So, yeah, that's it.
I'm sorry, but whatever just was happening was reminding me of the clumps when he was transitioning his body, and I almost couldn't hold it together. I was trying so hard to hold it together, but it was killing me.
That reminded me of, let me see if I can find it, because it's something I laughed at. Listen, it said, our teacher said if he kept laughing, his parents would be called. Look at this.
Get out. Look at me crying. He could hold it together.
That's me.
I'm sorry.
That's literally me.
Broken, hold it together.
Oh, Lord.
But
I agree with you. I mean,
I think it's
I think it's ignorant to say that.
I don't.
Why?
For the most part, he's right. Because a lot of things don't change in the government space. So that's why he says
okay,
he runs.
Okay, I can see from that perspective. But you, I could see in terms of innovation and growth mindset, you know, it may not be there as much for sure. So I can see it from that lens. But I don't feel like they're not just because of that. Like they might.
He worked with these people.
I feel like they're able to perfect a skill set because that's what they're doing.
I want you to ask him. Look,
ask me what?
You work with these type of people.
I worked on both sides of the fence. I don't believe.
Okay, do you feel like you were able to go deeper on the government side as opposed to in the private sector? Because things don't, quote unquote, change as frequently?
The thing about it is the only thing that you need to worry about is yourself, right? If you're going to say, well, this position in the government, cyber sector, I'm not learning these X, Y, and Z skills. Okay, well, we do that now in the private sector and or any company. If you need to upskill yourself, you're going to do it on your own time. You're going to get the skills regardless.
There's two separate things. I'm thinking something like the actual role. Like,
role would be perfect for someone who's brand new, who just, you know, who needs cyber experience.
That's why I said nothing changes. Like when I worked for the government, yeah, all these different, every group like had a, like, people with whoever handled the pens and erasers, you got a group for them. You got people that had the group for the printers, the servers, the firewalls. Like everybody had a group, so it was like siloed and it was simple because you knew what was going to happen. It wasn't nothing out of ordinary. Nothing really changed. So in that standpoint, if the environment is like that, then yes. Because I think y'all not even in doing stuff in the cloud, right?
Well, no, I think they are. They have the government cloud.
But I think for cloud, him, I mean, we have some people, orgs, or within the orgs.
Particularly. Yeah. I know you did it before because you was a startup man.
Yeah, but we do it at the same time, right? Because on classified side, maybe no, but
yeah,
that's where the training happens or...
training.
Where it happens at.
You think they're going to go to the cloud next year?
I don't know about that.
I actually see companies going off the cloud. I seen a dude talking about how much they spent the AWS. He was like, we're going back on prem.
I literally had a coworker who was telling us he set up a lab and he didn't.
He ain't putting no billing alerts on?
It was in AWS and he said it was ridiculously high. They say to be mindful when you're setting up the cloud labs on, you know, how much you can afford. And like he said, set up those budget alerts, cost, you know, analysis and stuff so you can make sure you're not.
Azure tell me every month that like my Ubuntu server like 80 cents, because I don't use it that much anymore. But yeah, that happened to me one time. I set up a CentOS environment and I made these logic apps, and they was pulling the threat feeds in from Alien Vault. Man, that thing went up like fast on me. I wouldn't delete that thing. I said, oh no, you ain't finna get me.
Yeah, the bigger the image, the more you got to pay for it, and then you know, even though you're not using it, they still charge you just to keep it available.
When that end, it's ingesting data every day. Like Autumn, I can show you right now on this Gmail, like Autumn things that was coming in. I think I got, let me see, where is that? Alien Vault. So like all these used to go straight into Sentinel, but I stopped the thing so it wouldn't go into there. So it blew up on me.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but all in all, Gov people had their own skill sets. They want to go private. Usually it's the opposite way around. I see usually a lot of people leave the private sector to go to government.
Because they want stability.
Exactly. So that means they're taking their private sector skills into the government with their different mindsets and
quick question
things like that. So
the government got shut down for 2 weeks. You're not gonna get paid for 2 weeks.
I'm not. First of all, I don't work for the government.
Well, I'm asking if you do.
They still get.
I don't know.
Second of all, yeah, I don't. Look.
Didn't you go through shutdowns when you was in the military?
Yeah, but military get paid. It's just the like those, what you call those officials, the Congress people or those.
Well, that's who don't get paid.
Yeah, that those types of people.
Well, they got enough money that that don't affect them that much.
But yeah, I don't work for the government, so.
And all you gotta do is tell your bills, hey, our thing shut down.
Or for a publicly traded company, so.
All right, I'll that's fine.
I think something that looks interesting under your bullets is Thread Story Time.
Yes, please. So I don't even be on Threads, so don't even go try to find me because I'm not on there. But
they can find you.
No, I know. I'm finna delete it just for that. So I got on and I literally, this was the first thing I saw. So it says, it's a short story time. So it says, so I might be getting terminated today at 8 a.m. I just logged into work at 2 a.m. and have a Slack message from our operations manager who has zero business messaging me directly. He scheduled some time for us to meet when he gets in the morning. Should I record it? How am I supposed to record? It's going to be a long 5 hours. The next one says, it's 7:28 here, almost there. Thanks everyone for the encouragement. Meeting is not 5 hours long. I meant 5 hours till the meeting starts. Then they said, I wish I could explain the level of disbelief I am in right now. This is insane though. I have not been fired yet as no one showed up. I am off in about an hour and still waiting to hear from them or anyone else at this point. I'm going to fully update you once I am off work because the last couple hours are always the busiest. And then she says, I wasn't let go. I just logged off work for a few minutes ago. He never joined the meeting and did not reply to me in Slack. I feel so sick to my stomach at the lack of communication. I really appreciate all the words of encouragement and support. Everyone here is so supportive. Thank you. And then some comments were like, what do you mean he has no business messaging you directly? Maybe your manager asked him to. Maybe he is in management and has the right to message you anytime he wants on their system. And then she just said, yeah, you're right. It was just weird because in my 8 years here, not once have I or any of my coworkers basically had any communication with him. But I just thought that if she was getting fired, that was a poor way to handle it. And if she wasn't getting fired, it still was a poor way to handle it. Not showing up to a meeting, not communicating while you're not showing up to that meeting, that will put anyone to be unsettled if the meeting was with your leader. Like, anyone would be unsettled by that. So I don't feel like she was wrong. And then with what's going on in the economy, you just never know. So you get a meeting at 3 a.m. you see got put on your calendar. Who's not going to instantly, you know, start freaking out? But I hope it worked out for her. I hope she didn't get laid off.
I think they just got the wrong person.
That's ugly.
I know, like, I think Pat said, like, because he wasn't there the couple of days when they did them layoffs at McAfee, he, like, dodged the bullet. So, like, sometimes if you ain't there, like, you never know what happens.
I just feel like that would make me sick to my stomach. Bye. I wouldn't even be able to go to sleep. I would be up for those 5 hours waiting for that meeting to start because, I mean, people got kids, families, livelihoods, bills, and that getting laid off is not fun.
Oh, yeah. It definitely not fun. Like, it's one of the worst feelings you can feel, but it also just make you put your head on the swivel from now on. And you need to, like,
I never feel like you want to get played.
A young guy, no, he got laid off recently from his company. And he was in disbelief. Like, dang, man, I was really doing good work for them. But my other friend was trying to tell him, like, yo, it's business. It happens. You know, welcome to, you know, adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
It sucked though, because they sandwiches were so janky. It was based on, like, I think, like, either how many years you had been working there.
Oh, yeah, that sounds exactly.
Or something. It was janky though.
Sounds exactly like somewhere I know.
I just think it'd be terrible, the severance packages that they're giving people. Like,
every severance package should at least be 6 months of salary.
And a lot of people say the severance is a luxury that businesses don't have to give you. So
I don't care what the guy gave me. I ain't have to come to work either, but I did.
I mean, that's the stink way to look at it. So I could see it. I could see someone with that.
It would still be cheaper for them to pay severances than to pay payroll for the whole year.
Yeah. I just think it's important to take care of the people that took care of you. Like, that's it. It's simple.
Yeah.
It's really simple.
Right.
And so I got another post from Lee's boy, Stephen Wall Vogel, whatever how you say his name.
Man, that's your boy.
Nah, he a cool dude. We actually had a good post when I had posted about the cybersecurity and help desk type stuff. Like that video, people still been coming out on that one. But 3 weeks ago, he said, can being on LinkedIn and expressing your opinion kill your job offer? Absolutely. Currently, employers can be very picky, so pick your public words wisely or willing to pay the price. My advice is do not post about...
Ain't no way. I'm telling you right now, ain't no way.
Are you talking about what I'm talking
about? Ain't no way, yeah.
I'm going to throw it on you.
Ain't no way.
I know I wasn't tripping.
Mm-mm. Somebody please fix it.
I'm going to throw it on you.
Just let it go about his day. Anyway.
No, my... Heck of
a... That's what I was trying to tell you earlier.
That's what you was laughing at? I don't think it's going by your bag.
It's lost now.
It's Friday the 13th.
Right.
And guess who's playing?
My advice is do not post about politics, religion, wars, inclusion, race, gender, and similar controversial topics. Yes, there are a lot of things that we should fix, but there are probably better platforms than LinkedIn. If you do post about these things, it can cost you your job and offer future opportunities. Is it sometimes worth it to ignore this advice? Yes, but remember what it can cost you. Do the math before you post. And I kind of agree, but I don't. I post whatever. I post with the, you know, I'm like Kendrick say, I'm with the culture feeler.
Yeah.
I struggle so bad with letting people see who I really am. I do. Yeah. I really struggle with
I think
that.
We all do. I think that's what I use the podcast for.
Yeah. I'm trying to, you know, get in my little flow, but I just feel like just everybody just shouldn't know who I am for real.
Okay, like, Bruce Wayne.
I'm trying to.
Actually, what's Selena Kyle? That's you. It's Catwoman.
Oh, yeah.
I can see.
But
you.
I have
do
a lot
have
of
a
different.
Cat?
No, I'm allergic. I have okay. a lot of. I have a dog.
A I know dog. You got a dog, but yeah. I'm saying I'm like some people like both.
No, I'm like deathly afraid and allergic, but.
Really?
Yes.
Afraid of cats?
There's so many people afraid
yes.
of cats. I don't
know.
Why? Because
I
like
no,
mystic,
I was attacked by a cat when I was a kid.
Oh,
like,
makes sense.
Like attacked, scratched Man. Up, tore up. I was like, why I didn't just get up?
So it's on site now.
Why I didn't just, yeah, I don't even play. I'm not coming to your house if you have a cat. I don't care who you are, how close we are. But I was going to say, I feel like I have a lot of different personas. So I like that. I can decide who I'm going to be today.
Yeah, I think that's everybody. I think yeah. we're all somebody different when the lights come on.
Lights came
on. He a Memphis Pit when the lights come on.
No.
You should hear him talking. He be trying to be reserved on the show and not try to draw it out of him.
He absolutely did.
Hey, man, I haven't, you haven't let me speak about what I really want to speak about.
Well, what you want to really speak about?
Hey, first of all, let's go to my posts. $500,000, not $500,000, $500,000 jobs in cybersecurity.
Click on it so you can make sure you get it right.
I got it. Anyway, so, you know, that's the big topic. You know, cybersecurity, everybody's trying to get in, entry-level talent, X, Y, and Z, et cetera. So it says White House launches cybersecurity hiring sprint to help fill 500,000 job openings for cybersecurity. I'm not going to read this word from word, but, you know, basically the concept is that, hey, we see a big need for cybersecurity. It says the program major emphasis is to reach job candidates without traditional qualifications such as computer science or engineering backgrounds. Many Americans do not realize that cybersecurity is a career available to them, X, Y, and Z. So all in all, the White House unveiled a national cybersecurity workforce and education strategy back last year in July 2023, and is a part of a major effort to close the skills gap in the push for an additional hiring in cybersecurity. Okay, I'm going to stop it there. Right, so this is the biggest selling point for a lot of education bodies, boot camps, certification bodies, et cetera. Hey, so many of these cybersecurity jobs for people out there, they are paying top dollar. All you need is these basic certifications, this basic boot camp that's going to cost you a portion of your life in a short scheme of things. But as people find out,
look at this, their face.
Yeah, I'm not okay.
You over here?
I'm not okay.
I'm going to let it come towards you. But as people find out.
I feel like it could fly, so that's why I ain't trying to underestimate it.
Y'all.
Why y'all so scared of a little cricket?
I'm not, but I don't want to jump on her.
No, I am.
Like, you're so scared.
I'm petrified. Like, I'm trying not to get up and run.
They fry those things and
I don't live
and,
there.
And eat them.
I'm not from there.
Jaywalk on.
just step on it.
You do it. I can't. Like, I literally can't.
Jaywalk on it.
I'm not going to even say what I want to say because I see those things every day.
I want to.
It's gone now.
No.
But, yeah, all in all, the big question is, where are these jobs, right? If there's so many cybersecurity job openings, 500,000, the numbers gets, you know, more wild each time you bring the subject up.
Man, what? 4 million. Listen, people. If it was that easy, all the people who are struggling to find jobs wouldn't be struggling to find jobs.
It's just, where are these so-called unfilled jobs? And then, right, and then you have the people who are the ones that are really job openings that are actually needing to be filled. They all ask for the same 5 to 10 years of experience that a lot of people just don't have because it's a... Like they said, it's a field that a lot of American people did not know exists. So if they just found out this field existed 2 months ago, how are most of these unfilled jobs asking for 5 years of experience? Well, a lot of people don't have those qualifications. And the people who do have those qualifications, they're usually happy in their in their job. So, and then, yeah, a lot of people that have been laid off, so they're going to take usually priority over the new people to the field. So it's like, where is the... Where is the balance in this whole sort of ordeal, right? So this is my biggest problem with these posts because, you know, the advertisement, this is great advertisement, basically.
Yeah. So it's definitely all it is advertisement because it's not true. And like I said, people are struggling to bounce back after being laid off. Some people multiple times. If it was out there, they'd have it. Yes, and they don't even know what they're looking for. So that's a whole different episode.
I got a video on that. Like, where I used CyberSeek and we went through all these jobs. And I actually kind of debunked that. And it's a video. It's a guy. He's the black guy. He's the something over the national something. The video is pretty good. And he actually went deep into that. But like I said, the only reason stuff is not entry level because they don't want it to be entry level.
Yeah.
Because it does.
But it's cheaper.
Yeah, but it's like why some people don't want minimum wage to get raised because then they gotta get a raise. So yep. If you raise it to 15, the person making 15 say I want 25, and the person that's making 25 want 35, so on and so on. So hopefully it happens, but like wishing for stuff to happen, you never know. Now, what I see happening is a new style of maybe hiring. If you didn't go to traditional background, maybe there's more assessment level. Like I was telling him, these jobs are having you do more assessments to see if you're qualified versus just like looking at your resume. So before you even talk to a team, you're going to do an assessment, which I think works out the best. You can not waste each other's time. I like
it. I know. I get it, but I hate it.
Yeah. Why?
I just hate tests. It. I'm not.
Well, these are not ABC. These are short answer.
Still.
You just Google the answer.
No, you can't, because it's not Googleable. It's like, because if they give you a file path that's not on Google, like, you can't Google that. You have to.
You can't Google how to respond to an incident if this happens.
Well, you got to think about it's time. So a lot of. All right, so I'm going to read one that's under yours because I picked it out. But I thought it was pretty cool, and it showed one of the few individuals that has good security awareness training. And it says, for security purposes, we got to stop picking up the phone.
Please.
So how do you know that person or the other end of the phone call is really who they say they are? Like I said earlier, we was dealing with something I said, trust but verify. Earlier in July, a Ferrari executive was flooded with a barrage of WhatsApp messages that appeared to come from his boss, the carmaker CEO, Benito Vigna. But the Ferrari executive didn't recognize the number, and he couldn't be sure it was really his boss. Suspicious of the flurry of messages from the unknown number, the Ferrari executive still took a call with the person who claimed to be Vigna. Despite the fact that the purported CEO had Vigna's southern Italian accent, the executive still felt something was off, so he asked the caller something only Vigna would know, something the two personally discussed days earlier. Sorry, Benetto, but I need to identify you. the executive said, and then the call abruptly ended. And a potentially colossal fraud was avoided, as reported by Bloomberg earlier this year. If you think the Ferrari executive is a rare case for scammers, think again. For as long as we had telephones, there have been people trying to trick someone into thinking they're someone else. Now, as the case of the attempt against Ferrari, voice AI tools make it so that the scammers can clone someone's voice and trick the victims into thinking they're talking to another person. All these attacks involve the phone, or rather picking up a phone call. Once you pick up the call, scammers and fraudsters can use tactics designed to pressure and force you into acting quickly and hastily in a high-stress situation. You probably heard of some of these scams lately. Look, the police or feds are not going to call you to claim that you have a warrant out for your arrest, or to demand a payment to invalidate the warrant. If there's an arrest warrant out for you, the police won't leave you a threatening voicemail. They'll come to your house. And this article is longer than what I thought it was. So I'm going to go down to the end. If you get a phone call claiming that someone has logged into one of your online accounts, go to the website or app for your online account and verify it for yourself before you take any further action. Most companies such as Google or Facebook do not call you, but rather rely on their official customer support portals. Be like that Ferrari executive. Take a minute to breathe and think and take control of the situation. And next time your phone alerts you of an incoming call, maybe just let it go to voicemail. I like when they hit you with that potential scam thing too.
It really helps out.
But I agree though that when we were discussing all this different AI stuff way back last year when they did like the fake Drake track and all this other stuff, how potentially this could be an issue. But if somebody called me with a fake AI, I'm going to say something that only the real person should know. Like if somebody called me impersonating Lee, I know y'all been hearing me say training all the time. I'm going to say something, and if he replied back with some, okay, this is actually Lee. If they don't, I was like, this is not you. You don't know anything.
Yeah. I think.
Or if I say, who the hottest rapper in Memphis, if you don't give me an answer, you ain't Lee.
I think it's important that that article was read because a lot of people don't know. If you're not in the field, you're going to answer the phone. Who is this calling me? I'm not answering the unknown number. Leave a message.
Right.
And if when they leave a message, I call them right back. But it's so ridiculous right now. And if your data has been compromised 9 times out of 10, it has, then you already getting the calls. So if you're wondering where the calls are coming from, that's where they're coming from. They got your data on the web.
And I'm petty enough to find an AI tool and talk to you like I'm somebody else. So I might use Tupac voice or something. Because yeah. I used to do that when they would say, your auto and policy is out or whatever. They ask what kind of car I got. I'll say, I got a red Lambo. They hang up.
Yeah.
Come like fam.
I don't even answer. And the text messages, I'm over it. Wrap this. Figure out something to wrap this up quick. And even like with the stuff I have on my phone, like the security solutions, the text messages.
See if find a way through.
Yes.
So they do, the carriers are trying to work on different ways where they can say, we think this is spam. Like, you know, the good thing with the iPhone is it'll say, okay, we'll block this number and we'll report it in spam. Yeah. So it show up as like, you don't see it. So they are trying to make different things up of like trying to help that. So, but what that article made me realize of this other scam that I've seen that's happening where people are getting fake Amazon packages to their house. And people are putting QR codes in them. And so they're telling people, hey, do not scan the QR code because when you scan it, they get access to your device and they get all your information.
Oh, wow.
So
just that fast, huh?
Yeah. And the security awareness force QR code should be, the QR code needs to have what website it should go to underneath it. Therefore, if it doesn't go to that, don't do it. Now, a sophisticated person knows how to probably put the QR code on a scanner, scan it. Then you can decode it through Cyber Chef and figure out where it go to. But all people are not going to know how to do that.
Well I know I'm sketchy with
when QR. You hover over QR codes, it should.
It'll show you.
But think how fast that thing is. Sometimes it just show up Chrome or something. It don't tell you where it's going to. And the average person, not us.
That part.
So that's why it's like,
and the average person is going to use the QR code because it's easier. No one wants to sit in and type in www. And then if you at somewhere that has a big chain, now you got to figure out which one.
That's what they Scatter Spider do stuff like that. Instead of going to your email now, if they got access to people's phone numbers and personal phones and work phones, they send QR codes and stuff like that there. So if you scan it, you know you're off the network. So by the time you realize something happened, it's too late. So now you're playing catch up to figure out what you can stop if anything happened at all. So it's definitely a tricky like chess game, because like as much as security awareness training you can give people, human always will be the weakest link.
Yep.
Human's always gonna be the weakest link. Let's see. Now, we don't have many TikToks to review today, unfortunately, people. But I did find some helpful ones, and I think this guy had a good one.
You should ask the person doing your job interview behavioral-based interview questions. I feel like people don't realize they can do that and how beneficial it would be. I actually get a lot of sarcastic comments like, well, what if I asked you a question like this? Do it. Do you know how much better of a question it is to ask something like, can you tell me about someone who was on your team that you helped progress in their career? Or can you tell me about a time that you managed two coworkers who couldn't settle a dispute and the role you played in that? These are questions that will help you learn about your manager. These are questions that will help you learn about the culture. These will go so much further for you than what's the culture like, or what are the skills necessary in this role, or what's the 30-day success plan look like, which they probably already told you about during the interview. Can you tell me about the last person who was promoted? Can you tell me about the last person who didn't work out here and what you think it was that caused that? What are some steps you took early in your career to get into the position you're in now if I was interested in doing the same thing? They want to know how you work and the behaviors you've displayed while working. You should want to know how they manage and the behaviors they display when managing. You are allowed to do this. This is not a trick. Try it to actually help qualify a manager or job to be the right person or job for you. And stop worrying about questions you don't actually care about. You should...
Yeah, you should send that to me, actually, because I love that video. Because
imagine, as you said, he ate.
He ate. Wait, someone just told me the other day I was chewing. I think I'm going to start using that.
You was chewing?
I was chewing. Instead of saying I ate, I was chewing.
I don't like that one. I don't like that one.
But listen, I think that imagine you going to ask a manager one of those questions and now they stumped.
He'll be baffled.
And if you think they're not going to remember you, please.
I like, so my goal is when I'm asking questions for the interviewers to say, good question. That's my goal.
Is to ask a good question?
My goal is to ask, to get them to say good question.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah.
Because a lot of times, that's the thing. Like,
because they probably hear the same. What is success?
And like he said, I got a list of questions and I'm listening. So if you answer something that I'm about to ask, I don't ask it. So that's why you can get a list of questions and ask what you should ask based on who you're interviewing with. So I thought that was pretty dope. And I know the listeners like when we bring stuff on like this. And this is a good one as well. What does it say? Let's see what this one said. I can't remember what it said, but I think I just bookmarked it.
This is why it's hard for people my age and my generation to find office jobs. The first reason is because leadership. They expect you to tolerate the shit they used to go through when they were first in the office. What's not going to happen is you talking to me crazy and not expecting me to speak up for myself. Absolutely not. It's not going to happen. And then they make it seem like you don't want to do your job. No, I'm not going to do my job if you trying to belittle me. Absolutely not. A reason why it's so hard for us to stay in these environments is because these big age folks. At your big age, why are you so messy? It's like high school all over again, but with older folks. You're old enough to be somebody's parents and grandparents. Why are you so messy? The next reason is because people expect you to overshare because they overshare. I come to work to do my job, to get my money, I clock out, I go home. My home life is my home life, my work life is my work life. I will never intercept either of those to cross over. Y'all will never know my business. Y'all will never know anything deeper about me other than when I come into work, when I clock out. Half the people I work with now don't even know my full name. They know me as my nickname. And because you're not sitting there in their face, they want to make it seem like you got a problem with them. No, baby, I'm just not messy like you. You're not about to involve me in none of your bullshit. And the reasons just keep going, but my video is long, so I'm just going to end it here. Like, office space environments for work is crazy. Me no gusta.
Yeah, she was going off.
She definitely was, and I've worked with older people. And my thing I say to myself is, like, they've been working here too long. That's what it is. You've been working here so long that you can't even see that you are miserable and you're making us miserable. And we don't even care as much as you care. So please do us a favor and move on, move up or move out.
Yeah, I just had a topic about that in that Facebook group that we're part of. So someone was saying about how that basically ties back into that company culture fit thing. And someone wants to say, hey, I ask these questions or I evaluate someone's culture fit based on questions like, are they willing to work outside of office hours? Are they willing to come to team events? Are they willing to commute to the office? And my response to that is,
yes.
No. No, my response to that is absolutely not. Because why? The way you get those types of people, let's gauge the market rate of this job and the placement rate. A lot of times now we're seeing today is companies trying to cut back on salary. So now you are telling me you want me to, first of all, work under the market rate for this position, and then want me to do extra work outside of working hours.
Stuff that wasn't in the particular question. You just asked questions. We didn't know if it was under market rate or not.
No, but I'm saying if they're wanting all these culture fit things, hey, you're willing to commute to the office, you want to engage in team activities, you want to work outside of office hours, the answer to that would be based on the market rate and placement rate for that job. That's what I tell you. If you want to have all these extra culture fit items out of people, you got to pay them to do that. You're not going to have the job filled 20K under the median rate and then expect someone to work outside of office hours. You want to have people drive into the office on their off day to do more project work to meet a deadline. You can't expect that type of work out of people. But
people expect some of that because that's what's typically been had. Like when the whole fiasco happened with
won't be me.
That company, and people had to physically go into locations and restart machines. Hey, they had to do what they had to do to get back up and running.
But guess what? The people who's doing that, let's ask themselves. Let's ask, are they being paid fairly?
No, they were not. Nobody. They had people that wasn't even in IT that did it, bro.
It was an easy restart too.
Right. That's a rare occasion. But also, you're going to say whatever you got to say to land a job. Like, if you need a job bad enough, you're going to do what you got to do.
You're going
to
tell them exactly what they want to hear, for sure.
Facts.
Yep, I know how to do that, and I'll do that, and I can do more.
Nah. And then here's, like, the last
one. That's how I'm keeping me as me, by standing on what I believe.
Stand on business, Drewski.
I can't lie to him. I'm sorry. I know that's the whole thing with interviews. It's just two people lying to each other. But me, I'm going to tell you exactly how I operate, right? So
let me play this real quick so we can
you want to know why white men make more money than you do? Besides racism, of course, because given, right? Is because as black people, we don't like to talk about how much money we make. We think it's taboo to talk about money, which is why I didn't understand as an individual that I could make over $100,000 and not be a CEO or a C-suite level like employee. It's why I thought that $100,000 collectively between me and my partner was plenty of money to live off of, until I went from making $68,000 to more than $150,000 for doing the exact same fucking job. And I want you to think about what making $150,000 would do for you. And I want you to imagine never hitting that number because you don't know how to ask for it in a fucking interview. Because in your world, for your family, for your friends, for your circle, for your experience, that's not a number that would ever come up. Being transparent makes us stronger. It gives us information. It makes us so much more capable. And non-black people tell each other all the time what they're making, how to get there, give them the leg up. So this is me trying to do it for you. I was a trainer, a new employee onboarding specialist that went from making $68,000 with commission, like that was my total compensation, to more than $150,000 doing the exact same job. Next time you think about, like, don't be in my fucking pocket, don't watch my pocketbook, and I hear you, remember that this is how we all wind up not making more money, because we don't know any better and we don't know to ask for more. Do with that information what you will. Yeah. You want to know why white men make more money?
I agree with her. It's very important. Obviously, it's important to know who you can talk to, but
yeah,
if you don't show people how big they can dream, or if you don't meet someone who dreamed bigger than you, that's really what it is. It's meeting people who dream bigger than you, who care about you enough to put you on game. That's what it is at the end of the day. If you don't know what you don't know.
You get what you negotiate to.
You don't know. Like she said, a lot of people, even still to today, I mean, it's erasing, you know, the fact that, oh, I just want to make six figures. Now that we see that,
yeah, people that's the bare minimum,
you know, threes, fives, you know, it's money out here to be made.
Hey, you spend $15,000, you can make it.
I just think it's interesting.
I thought Lee was going to comment on that.
15K?
Never mind, you didn't get the joke.
Not you're not tapped in, Lee.
He thinking about something else.
Yeah, my man.
But nah, I agree with all that. That's why I'm very transparent. And like, I used to think coming from Shreveport, I was like, I just wanted to make 80,000. I thought that was something.
No, for real. I wasn't even thinking about 100.
Right.
I wasn't.
And now you start getting, like, when you, certain areas of your career, and not the BS stuff where people lie, but when you start now getting to where you're seeing jobs that's hitting you with stuff that's in the twos, you were like, that's all right, though. Like,
yeah.
You start to think bigger. Like, six figures, mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool for you to start out there or aim to want to make there, but you got a dream as big as you want to be a millionaire, you want to mm-hmm. be a billionaire, you can be whatever you want to be. Look at, everybody's different. Look at Kai. Mm-hmm.
And then let me know, like, not let me know, but then you get to the point where you say, all this stuff I'm doing for this company, I probably could do for myself. Let me see how I'll be as a consultant. And then you start charging what you want to charge per client per hour. And then you good to go. So it goes in stages, but the bottom lines is, because I get people to ask me this on certain videos or something like that. They'll say, how I find the $70,000 job? How I find the $80,000 job? And I say, every time I say this in a comment, I say, you're going to hate this answer, but apply to it. I say it every time because, like, you scared to apply to the job.
Yeah.
And it's probably the same thing. You probably know more than the people that's there.
That part.
Mm-hmm. Like, all the time. You probably know them more than the people that's there. So
apply network.
Don't sleep on yourself.
Right. With that being said, we are wrapping up this extremely, what's the word I want to say, eventful day of recording. You guys don't even know what's been going on while we're recording today. It's the 13th. But it's definitely been a very interesting day. I don't even know if I got any. I already gave y'all a movie line earlier with Blue Streak. But I don't think I really got no lines to give y'all today. You got any, Destiny?
Just keep swimming from Finding Nemo. Whatever you're struggling with, just keep swimming. It's going to be all right. It's going to turn around. Just keep swimming.
Yep. And I'm just going to tell you this one thing. We ain't got no fences at Camp 8. What we got here is the gun line. Tell them about the gun line, boss. Oh, man. But
that's mad.
Appreciate y'all for tuning in with us. If y'all appreciate this format, I need to know in the comments, because this is what I want to move toward to. If I can't do it every week, maybe every 2 weeks, until we can do it every week. Then when we get big, we're going to be like Joe Budden and we shooting 2 times a week. But if y'all really enjoyed this episode, let us know in the comments below. And until next time, stay textual, and we out. Peace.